And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours. A lot to dive into on a hump day program. Chip Brown from Horns247.com will join us in his weekly spot. Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered will join us as well to talk some SEC baseball and some SEC football. We've got kick time announcements for the 2026 season. We've got Steve Sarkisian going scorched earth on the state of college football. We've got the PGA Championship getting going tomorrow. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. It is a jam-packed show, and we appreciate y'all spending some of your Wednesdays with us. How are you today, my man?
I am fabulous. It's a fabulous day. It's going to remain that way all day long, and it's looks like we're going to roll into the 25th annual Mullet Open with some incredible weather, close to 90 degrees. You know, could be cloudy on Friday, but it looks like it's going to be good weather. I don't see any rain in the forecast until maybe sometime next week, so that's a good thing. It seems like it's rained somehow, some way, just about every weekend over the last month, but it's good. Everything is good, feeling good, you know, and like I said, ready to go, ready to get this historic 25th annual Mullet Open over with. 6 months, I'm worn out. And I get worn out on the last week. I don't get worn out during the course of the whole 6 months. You know, it's just the last week when it's, you know, when it's that time. It's like everything seems to come up. People need this. Do you have a team? Do you have a room? Do you have this? Are you going to do this time? What time does it really start? I was so confused, BK, that I thought the tournament started at 10 a.m. I thought we did it last year at 10 a.m. Guy says, no, it stayed at 11. So for those wondering when it is, it's 11 a.m. We go out at 11 a.m.
It is 11 a.m.?
Yeah. What did I tell you? Did I tell you 10?
Yeah, you told me 10 yesterday.
Well, it hasn't changed. It's still everybody's email says 11, so 11 it is. So if you get there at 10, good. Get yourself some tacos. Go hit some balls for a change. That means that'll put you there in time. That's how I have to get some of the Texas cheaters to a golf course on time. The tee time is 11:15. I tell them it's 10:30.
Oh my God. They are pissed
because I always hear phone calls get to me said, coming in hot. I'm like, what's that mean? Oh, the tee time's at 11. Oh, I'll be there at 11. I'm like, come on. You're not going to be there at 11. You're going to then want to hit 10 balls. It's going to be 11:15. Tee time has gone by and people are passed us by. That's all right.
Everyone's got those friends where you have to tell them to get somewhere 30 minutes early. Otherwise, they're going to be 30 minutes late.
And I hate doing that to grown people, grown-ups. I hate doing that to adults. I feel really weird because then when they show up by accident 5 minutes before the tee time, they're like, I've been here. So the tee time is not for another 15 minutes? Oh. Yeah, I'm like, go get a drink. Go take a dump. Do something, you know, responsible. But just leave me alone. It's the only way I can get you here on time.
Get a drink or take a dump. Yeah, it's always the adult's fault when someone's late. When the kid's late, it's not their fault. They can't drive. It's the adult's fault for getting the kid there late. So the adults are the worst when it comes to being on time.
And like, once again, you know, you and I, I'm weird about times. You know, I was around Tom Coughlin for 4 years of my life. I mean, I had to know what time it was at all times. It didn't matter. I mean, if I'd get up to use the bathroom to do, would want to know when I'm coming back. What time will you be back? I don't know. I don't know how long a dump takes, coach. Well, can you give me an approximate time? Coach, when I'm done, I'll be right back to the meeting. What about lunch? Coach, I have an hour for lunch. So what time will you be back? I have an hour for lunch, coach. Well, what time do you think you're coming back? I mean, if I came back in a half hour, what are we going to do? We'll start a meeting a half hour before. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's out of his mind. That guy was incredible. He made me think about time. You know me, when I go to the airport to pick up my wife, because of being around that guy for so long, my wife comes in at a certain time. I'm in that parking lot at the, you know, the cell phone thing 2 hours before the flight gets there. I go to the airport 2.5 hours before I have to go.
Yeah,
and I'm saying in the airport and done with everything, just waiting for the plane.
You and I have done countless shows together, and we've just had numerous meetings together in certain places, and I like to be on time, But I don't think there's been one instance where I've beaten you anywhere that we've met. I mean, you're there 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour early. I'll get there 10 or 15 minutes early to be safe, and I am never there before you.
Yeah, I tell you what's crazy about it is, since I grew up around him and coaching when I first started at Boston College and throughout my coaching career, that's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me is time. Because people pretend like your time doesn't mean anything. So when they're late, they look at you like, oh, so what? I'm 10 minutes late. I'm like, wait a minute. That's my 10 minutes. What are you doing taking my time? You know, so people don't do that. So I left my son at the dock one time when he was a kid because he was late, 5 minutes late, and the boat was 150 yards away. Never turned around to get him. Just kept on going. He was never late again. He was the first one on that dock during vacation. The first one, dude, was there like 4:30 in the morning. It was dark, and that guy had all his fishing equipment. You could hear him out there at the dock. I'm like, I guess he learned.
That's a fantastic story.
It really is. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate what you do for all of us. We appreciate your family sharing you with all of us. And do be safe out there, please.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of being on time, Victor Wembanyama was on time and ready to roll.
Boy, he was mad.
For the San Antonio Spurs last night as the Spurs cruised to a Game 5 win over Minnesota in San Antonio, 126-97, the final score. We expected a strong performance from Wemby following his ejection in Game 4, and we got just that, 27 points, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks. He also added 5 assists as well. He was a dominant force on both ends of the floor. How about 18 points in the first quarter?
Yeah, that dude was mad to start the game out with. And they were trying to get physical with him. But, you know, before the show, I talked to you about, I said, that guy's been people have tried to push that guy around when he's in fourth grade and fifth grade. He'd been taking abuse from people for his height and his, you know, just being all out alien forever. So you're not going to bully him. I mean, athletes are so different now. Years and years, they've changed. This isn't like the old NBA where you're going to bully some guy around. That dude's like 7'6". You're not going to bully him around. I mean, he plays basketball in Europe. I mean, you think he hadn't been bullied around before?
I think Minnesota has almost been attempting to rage bait Victor Wembanyama, to use a term that the kids use. Like, they know they're not going to out physical him. They're just trying to get in his head. They're trying to get under his skin, and they're trying to force him to lose his cool like he did in Game 4. Yeah. And it kind of figured, all right, that was a shock to everybody that Wemby threw the elbow the way that he did. You kind of thought, all right, that was his mistake. That's not going to happen again. He knows better. This series is now tied 2-2. He can't do anything to, put himself in a position where he's going to have to miss another game in this series.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, Minnesota tried it early on last night, but Wemby didn't let it get to him a little bit. There were some pushes. There were some shoves. And Wemby just brushed it all off. And he just balled last night the way
he said he's the biggest, the tallest thing on the court. If he wants to just take advantage of that and just score points, he can. If he just wants to take the ball in the pivot and you can't do anything about it, that's fine with him. But he's trying to be his best to be an all-around basketball player, everything, assists, you know, blocks and all that stuff. If that guy just wanted to score, he would just dominate the scoring in the NBA. He could do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, feels that way. And again, 18 points in the first quarter, started the game 6 of 8 from the floor, made a couple of threes in that opening frame. It's ridiculously good. And the Spurs got out to a big lead. They got out to a few big leads. It felt like in the first 2.5 quarters, San Antonio getting on a run, it felt like it was going to turn into a blowout, and then Minnesota would claw back in, and then San Antonio would go on another run, and then Minnesota would claw back in. That was sort of the flow of the game for the first 2.5 quarters. But in the final 20 minutes or so of game time, the Spurs went on a run, and they just hid for Minnesota.
The next couple of years, that team will know how to win those type of games where nobody gets a run on them, and they just beat you down, you know, in some of these series. As they get used to playoff basketball, they're going to be a real, real problem because they're not going to give up those runs where teams come back on them. They're just going to leave you behind, you know?
I'm with you on that. Great game from Keldon Johnson, to the NBA Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, you talked about him. He needed to play.
Yeah, his best game of the playoffs, 21 points, 8 of 11 shooting, just way more aggressive, trying to set a tone. He was a difference maker. It was an all-around team win. I mean, six Spurs finished in double figures. Stephon Castle was awesome. Dylan Harper, the rookie, was solid again. The Spurs shot 53%. And I think the most impressive part of what San Antonio did was on the defensive end, holding a very good Minnesota offense under 100 points. They put so much pressure on Anthony Edwards, Buck. I mean, he ended up with 20, which is obviously not a horrible night, but it's not up to par for him. And he had to work so hard to get those 20 points.
And he's still tired. Like you said, he's still winded. He's not got his, you know, I don't think he's totally healed. That's obviously that leg still bothers him, but he's winded too. He doesn't have his wind with him. And like you said, that guy's looking for oxygen. That San Antonio air got him last night.
The fat San Antonio air.
Oh, yeah, the thickness.
Because there's nothing thin about that city, at least according to Charles Barkley.
Fat!
Well, that's my
guy. That was quite a game by them. I could feel that one coming. I think they'll have a dogfight the next one. But this one was one that if that guy wants to dominate you, he's going to dominate you. And as I said, that guy's been picked on. That guy has sisters. That demon, his sister's been picking on him when he was, you know, like 7 feet tall when he was 12 years old. They've been picking on him forever. He can take it. That's not going to bother him.
Now, again, that's why what happened in game four was so shocking to see. Because Minnesota's not the first team to try that strategy against him. And he's usually able to brush it off like it's nothing. He couldn't in that one moment, but he obviously was fine last night, and he's the best player on the floor. And
don't piss him off. There's no reason to piss him off. Just play him. But don't – you're not going to – all you do is make him mad.
They woke the beast, that's for sure. Game six is not until Friday, so you've got 2 days off in this series. Of course, this one will shift to Minneapolis. San Antonio, a 4.5-point favorite. I'll ask you right off the bat, do you think this gets to a game seven, or do you think the Spurs are able to close this one out on the road?
I think it gets to game seven.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I think San Antonio.
You think they're done? You think they figured it out now?
Yeah, I think the Spurs would have won game four if Wemby didn't get ejected. Now, it happened so early in the game, there's no way to know for sure. But, like, I would have thought San Antonio was going to win that. And then last night would have been the closeout. I think they figured something out. I think they're just the better team. And I don't trust Anthony Edwards to be healthy enough to play this deep into a series at a high enough level. That's going to.
I agree. Yeah. Him having to do so many different things, it's just tough right now. He's not healed up enough for that.
Yeah, I don't think so. So we'll see what happens. But an impressive showing for San Antonio, a 29-point victory defending home floor. They now have two chances to win one. The Spurs are 16-3 as a franchise all time when leading a best-of-seven series 3-2. So history has been good to the Spurs in these
situations. Oh, for sure.
So there you go. Congrats to you, by the way, before we move on and get into.
Let's congratulate. Let's hey, the DraftKings king. Let's congratulate him.
Is that you?
Yeah, that would be me.
You're calling yourself the DraftKings king?
Oh, I'm still down, right?
You are still down. And also DraftKings is really still illegal. DraftKings is illegal in Texas, so I feel like you need a better nickname.
Well, that's all right.
Maybe
I'm the king of my cousins.
That sounds like you're Alabama fan marrying your cousin. It's a little weird right there. I don't know if you want that nickname either.
No, I don't want that one.
What about the drag queen?
Yeah, I need to get the people back to know I tried last night, but the Montreal Canadiens.
You could be the Kalshi king because Kalshi is legal in the state of Texas.
Yeah, I'm Kalshi king, yes.
And they are a sponsor on 1300 The Zone. So that could be Kalshi
king.
The Kalshi King, Bucky Godwin. Yeah, you did win 150,000 units last night. You went 2-1 in your three gold star locks in the NBA and NHL playoffs. You got the Spurs, -9.5. They covered with ease. You had the Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL.
Wow.
They needed overtime, but they got the win in game five against the not-so-mighty Ducks of Anaheim. And the one game you missed was your 50,000-unit play. So you got your 100Ks right. Smallest play was on Montreal against Buffalo in game four. The Sabres.
Well, I wasn't expecting the puck to bounce off the Zamboni guy's head and go into the goal for Buffalo either.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest goals I've ever seen. And bad puck luck for the Habs. Some very fortunate puck luck for Buffalo. And the Sabres get that win. That's now a best of three going back to New York. But, hey, That's one of the best days you've had in a while, sir. Up 150,000 units. You're still down 100K.
That's why we got the Pistons tonight, baby.
You want to go ahead and put in your calls right now?
150,000 units on the Pistons tonight.
Do you need a line?
I don't need a line, big game, James.
No, he's a little
game. They're winning by 7. I know that line isn't that much.
No, I'm surprised the line is as low as it is. It's only 4.5. So you're going 150K on the Detroit Pistons tonight at home. Yes, Cavs have won the last 2 to even it up at 2. But the home team has won all 4 games thus far. Yes. And this is a home game for Detroit. All right, well, while we're on the subject, hockey tonight, Minnesota at Colorado, game 5 in Denver, the Avs with a chance to close things out at home.
Closed out, 150.
Wow, 150K on the Avs.
We're getting well tonight.
If you hit both of these, you will be back in the money, and then some.
Yes, sir. Yes,
the Kalshi King or the Drag Queen, depending on how you do. If you're right, you're the Kalshi King. If you lose, you're the Drag Queen.
Yes.
I like that right there. So there.
Hey, you know, all these different innovative things that have happened in hockey, that stupid penalty box door and that deal behind the goalkeeper, that door back there, they still haven't found a way to make that like the rest of the rink. That thing is dull or whatever it is. It's either too bouncy or too dull. It just doesn't – things. The puck doesn't bounce, and players don't bounce off that the same.
Right. Every arena is different, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the home ice advantage you get in the hockey.
Have to know the crease. You have to know the corners and everything.
You got to know the boards. You got to know the corners. You got to know the doors. You got to know the glass. You got to know everything. Yep. And obviously you play 41 games on your home rink every regular season. You kind of figure that stuff out over time. Sure. When you're on the road in an unfamiliar environment, not so much. I mean, that was a home game for Montreal where that happened. It was the Zamboni door, the big door that they opened to let the Zamboni on the ice in between periods. That was the one that puck hit, took the crazy carom and ended up in the back of the net. I mean, it's a 1 in a million bounce
there. Yeah, they could shoot that all day long and they couldn't do that.
Right. Like, I know some Montreal fans are like, hey, goalie, you got to be ready for that. You got to be paying more attention. But that is such a freak thing that happened to where I'm not too mad at Dobish, the Canadian goalie. That's just bad luck right there. And sometimes that happens in sport.
A guy could take 5 buckets of pucks and not do that again.
A guy could literally spend his next month doing that exact – and it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen that exact way. So – that cost you last night. You could have had a perfect 3-for-3 evening.
That's all right. I get it tonight. Everything's good.
And it didn't happen.
Kalshi King is ready to go.
The Kalshi King is ready to go. Well, let's get into some Texas football conversation. We'll start with a couple of game time announcements for the upcoming 2026 season. Yesterday, the university announced 2 kickoff times for the fall. Start with week 2. Texas hosting Ohio State. That'll be a 6:30 p.m. kick on ABC. It was also announced by ESPN that College Game Day will be in Austin for that.
Awesome. One.
Well, kind of awesome, but College Game Day in Austin has not been awesome to the Longhorns recently. Oh. Texas has lost 4 straight games with Game Day in town. Dating all the way back to 2019, that game against LSU, who ended up winning the national title that year. But yeah, the last 4 times that College Game Day has been on the 40 acres, the Longhorns have lost. The most recent example, the Georgia game in 2024, where Texas was
the number 1. We need this, BK. We need more obstacles because there is no excuse. So this is we can't fall on this one either. So just keep bringing them. Keep bringing the obstacles. There's nothing we can – we're just going to say, so what?
Right. I'm not trying to use it as an excuse. I mean, you got to find a way to change the narrative a little bit about not being able to win when game day's in town. And I think more so than that, more Texas fans are focused on just beating Ohio State or Georgia.
Yes.
You don't get to play Georgia, at least in the regular season, perhaps in the SEC title game, perhaps in the playoff, you will meet the Dogs. But there have been 2 teams that you have not been able to beat. You only get the chance to play one of them, at least a guaranteed chance to play one of them. This is your opportunity to get some much-needed revenge against the Buckeyes.
Oh yeah, you got to, there won't be any excuses. This one's, hey, sorry that College Game Day is going to be there, but we still got to win this game. We can't, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Bring them on. Bring Herb Street and his silly ass dog too. Bring the dog. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, it's the first time you played Ohio State at home. Obviously, the neutral site playoff game at the end of the 2024 season and then the trip to Columbus last year. So it's your best opportunity getting them at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. Yeah, there are no excuses this time around. And just find a way to win. Look, I'm glad this is a night game for so many reasons. Like, it was a joke that Texas had to play at Ohio State at 11 o'clock local time.
Yes.
And I think everybody hates big noon kickoff, but that's Fox's bit, and Fox runs the Big Ten, so they got to choose the kick time last year. I don't love everything about the SEC, but I do love that they realize the biggest games in this sport should be played in prime time.
I agree.
And that is, without question, the biggest game of week two of the college football season. I think it's the biggest non-conference game of the entire college football season. So only fitting that game day is in town, and again, only fitting that it will be under the lights. The drones better be ready, Chris Del Conte, if you're listening.
Yeah, you need to have that, don't you? You got to have your drones.
You got to pull out all the stops for that one, and I'm sure he will, and I'm sure his staff will be ready to roll. But I'm expecting
a big drone show. I will see Jetpack Man on the scoreboard.
Oh, the return of Jetpack Man?
Why not?
Well, why not? Is Texas was awful at football when that guy was flying around.
That's true.
That was when I was in school. Those were some dark years, sir.
That's right. Jetpack Man didn't bring any luck, did he?
No. He just brought a bunch of headaches. It was so loud with that guy.
We don't want to see him stuck on the Jumbotron either.
I've never been an earplugs guy at games or at concerts or even a NASCAR race. I just raw dog it. Sorry for the less politically correct phrase there, but when Jetpack Man was flying, dude, I'm like, all right, get this guy out of here, please. Covering the ears.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd be down for Jetpack Man, but that would be hilarious if he did make his
little flyover.
Make his non-anticipated return for that's the flyover instead of like the badass military planes during the anthem.
We just got Jetpack Man. Fly over the stadium. The people would go crazy.
Oh, man, what a throwback that would be. So that's a night game, Texas-Ohio State in week two, the way that it should be. And then your other game time announcement for the 2026 season is for the final game of the regular year, Texas at Texas A&M on Black Friday. That will also be a 6:30 p.m. kick in College Station.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't care. You know us with that game. It doesn't matter where it is, what time it is. We'd have it at lunchtime. Let's not eat lunch. Let's just go play the game, guys.
Dawn, dusk, lunch, it doesn't matter. Put that game anywhere, anytime, and we're going to win.
Yeah, by that time, and that's the end of the year, they're talking about who's going to be the next quarterback at A&M because they'll be looking for a new guy after this year anyway.
After this year. So you think Marcel Reed's going to survive the season?
I know. I just think sometime during the course of the season, BK, they're gonna be looking for a new guy to replace him.
Okay.
For the following, you know, he still has 2 years left. They're gonna be looking to replace that dude probably by the seventh or eighth game of the season.
All right.
So he may make it to that game, but they're gonna be talking about, oh, we need a quarterback. We don't have a quarterback. Well, yeah, you don't. Okay.
I was going to say, or at least ask, are you making the bold prediction that Marcel Reed will not be starting the Lone Star Showdown this year?
That's interesting. No, I think they'll probably win enough games. I think 8 games for them to win, they'll be happy with that.
They're going to go back to being Texas 8-4.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
They had their one trip to the playoff last year, and, boy, they laid an egg, not even getting into the end zone against Miami at home, and now they're back to normal A&M stuff.
Maybe 9-3, 8-4, and then they'll be talking about, we still haven't found a quarterback. We thought this was going to be our guy. Yeah, that's, you're going to hear a lot of that this year from them.
I love it. Dunking on the Aggies early in the show. That's always good. Appreciate that. Look, I know some Longhorn fans and Texas fans aren't alone, but people get a little spooked when it's a road game at night. But I think it's worth reminding everybody that when Texas played Texas A&M at Kyle Field in 2024, that was a game under the lights. The Longhorns had no problem in that hostile environment. They won that game relatively handily against the Aggies. So I don't think they're going to be too fazed by having to play under the lights there.
Is there a time for the game in Dallas, Texas, OU? They don't have – that's ABC all the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the only reason we get these two games, and we're going to get the other non-conference game soon, but the Ohio State game's a non-conference game, right? So you can make that announcement early on. And then A&M is that standalone Black Friday spot. So once you get to conference play, you've got either the 6 or 12-day window where the conference kind of waits and sees, okay, how good is this team? How good is that team? We don't want to put like teams, we might think they're good going into the year, but they might suck. We don't want to put them in prime time. We want to wait and see how some of these games play out. So we're not going to get any announcements for any of the other SEC games, at least I wouldn't think, until we get to the regular year. But because of the circumstances, again, surrounding Ohio State being a non-con and then the standalone Black Friday spot with the Lone Star Showdown, that's why we get the news in mid-May.
How are you in your mind about the 11 o'clock kickoff of that game now? I mean, since you've done it so many different times, I mean, in your mind, does that do anything to you really? Or it's just, hey, it's the game, we're going, we'll be there, it's going to happen, 11, 2:30. I mean, do you have any preference anymore to that game?
With Red River?
Yeah.
I prefer not 11 a.m. You know my stance on Texas OU. Nobody agrees with it, but I want that to be a night
game. No, that's not going to be a night game. No, that's not. We're not having shoot 'em ups down in that part of Dallas at night.
Look, I always say, if you want to prove that Texas OU is the best rivalry in college football, I think it is already, but there are a lot of people out there who would pick Ohio State, Michigan, or, you know, the Iron Bowl or something else. I'm not going to
have bodies in bags.
You got to have casualties, man.
I mean, really?
That's how you separate yourself from all of the other rivalry games.
Yeah, I've heard people say it wouldn't be any problem at night there. Yes, it would.
I don't know what would be the bigger problem, right? Texas and OU fans inside the fairgrounds being around each other all day drinking.
Yeah,
the fact that you're in the Fair Park area of Dallas late at night.
I'm going to lean more towards nighttime and Fair Park area.
Yeah.
People and the people who have been drinking, wandering around to the neighborhoods to get their cars and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking is not good.
Yeah, it'll never happen. And look, smarter people than me make those decisions. So good for you guys. And
there's a reason why it hasn't been at night. There's one of the reasons. Just not going to be one of those.
I know. But I prefer 2:30 over 11 o'clock. I just don't love the 11 a.m. game. I see the appeal to it, I guess. You get it out of the way, and then you get to go home and enjoy the rest of the college football and the rest of your Saturday. But
or if you're staying overnight, you get to be there before it gets to be night.
And selfishly for us, it's like, I don't want to go to the fair at 7 a.m. to set up for our pregame.
It's freaking dark in that place.
Right. Like, it's dark there, and it's
I got to know where my car is parked.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, I'm usually going out on Friday, and I'm not alone. Like, most people who make the trek to Dallas are going out, having a good time. Maybe some drinking is involved. I'm having a few Altstats. It's like, I don't want to have to get out of bed, like, that early the next day, you know?
That is the earliest of days.
I'll take 2:30 over 11 a.m.
There you go.
But I'll take 6:30 over both.
Oh, my God. Bags. Just bodies laying in bags outside the stadium. In the neighborhoods. Oh, my goodness.
Here lies BK, the guy who wanted this. It's only fitting that he's the guy who loses his life first.
Hands out of the body bag like this with a hook'em. Why not? I got what I wanted.
Exactly. That is awesome. All right, we'll take your thoughts. So there you go. A couple of game time announcements. Ohio State and A&M will both be 6:30 p.m. kicks, the way it should be. The best games should always be in prime time. And those are two of the biggest games, maybe the two biggest games on the Longhorn schedule in 2026. So I'm glad they will be in the spots they deserve. All right, in a moment, we've got to get to Steve Sarkisian's comments in a USA Today article that have gone viral. I mean, he took a shot at Ole Miss. He took shots at the NCAA. He took shots at the college football playoff. A lot to unpack there, and we'll spend a good chunk of time doing that. But before we do, how about our first round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, relax the back embraces a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and you can transform your routine and your life with some great savings at Relax the Back. Select zero gravity recliners, of course, adjustable mattress sets, Tempur-Pedic pillows and mattresses, human scale office chairs, desks, and all the accessories you need to make your back and your shoulders and your neck and your lumbar area feel great. Two locations, the Hill Country Galleria right across the street from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Dude, Relax the Back is up their game. I mean, they've got one of the craziest chairs I've ever seen.
No.
I mean, it's quite pricey, but it is like...
They're not going to try to make me forget about this one, are they?
It's got like surround sound JBL speakers in the chair. Obviously, it reclines and massages, and it's incredibly comfortable, but the technology in some of the Relax the Back products has gotten ridiculously good.
Wow.
So shout out to them. Also, some love to Audiovisual Consultation. Speaking of great technology, that's what AV Consultations is all about. If you want to upgrade your home television setup, do it with the pros at AV Consultations. They are the best in the business, and they've been in business here in Central Texas since 1988. If you want the four-screen man cave like I have, they can make it happen. If you want the 85-inch screen like the Buck has, they can make it happen. Home theater rooms with surround sound, patio TV setups, they do it all. And they take care of everything from start to finish. Don't buy TVs and speakers and then call AV Consultations. No, you're wasting your time and you are wasting your money. They get the best deals on the best products. They've got the best installation teams and the very best customer service. That's why they've been around for almost four decades here in Central Texas. All you have to do is give them a call and let Tom McKay and his crew bring everything to you. 512-255-8678. That's their phone number, or you can find them online at avconsultations.com.
Our good friend Matt King is about to take a 2,000-mile journey across this country, led by our good friends at GoBundance, and driven by one mission, folks, raise $1 million and give it back to the communities that he will be passing through. That's incredible. He's going to raise $1 million, going to give $1 million away to families, communities, projects that are in some of these cities that may need a little extra cash. He's going to be a part of that. TheRideProject.com needs you. As Matt has got a couple of weeks before he starts out, he wants to try to get to that $1 million mark, so we need to help him. Go to TheRideProject.com and help Matt out and his journey from Mexico all the way to Canada on a bicycle and a bicycle seat, folks. Yeah, he's going to do that, but he's not doing it for himself. I'm sure he's doing a part of it for himself to see if he can do it, but he wants to do it for the people. And he's done a lot for the people around the state of Texas. Now he wants to go across America, which is absolutely crazy. That's a lot of commitment, and that is about commitment, and he is committed to getting this done. Raising that million and giving away, folks. Help him out by going to therideproject.com.
Nobody in their right mind spends that much time on a bicycle seat. You don't do that for yourself. You do that for others. That's what
Matt toured the Lance did that.
Yeah, well, he only had one.
That was kind of for him. It was kind of for him, too.
He only had one ball, so that made it hurt half as bad, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he was taking steroids, probably, which, maybe helped the pain, too. TheRideProject.com. I mentioned Allstat beer earlier, and all this Texas football talk has me excited for tailgates and watch parties and everything else that comes along with football season. Football season is drinking season.
There you go.
Maybe not for the buck, but for a lot of you people out there.
You people and that little girl.
Allstat beer is the only beer that I drink during football season, but really all year round. There's plenty of good sports going on right now and plenty of good beer drinking opportunities as the weather starts to heat up in the state of Texas. Allstat beer, the best beer that there is. Brewed locally in Fredericksburg. So every time you buy Allstat, you're helping to support a local business. They've got a bunch of different brews out there, award-winning beers. The lager is my personal favorite. It's fantastic German-style lager, super easy to drink, and it's brewed without any additives or preservatives or unnecessary filler ingredients that you find in some other beers. Allstat is clean. It tastes great. It hits the spot every single time. Don't just take my word for it. Get you some the next time you're at your favorite liquor store or a grocery store or bar or restaurant, wherever you get your beer, make sure you drink the best. That is Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Sweet.
All right. Let's get into this USA Today article. Now, Texas football head coach Steve Sarkisian recently did an interview with Matt Hayes of USA Today, and it got published yesterday. And man, Sark has been going viral ever since. He went scorched earth on the state of college football, talking about everything from NIL to the transfer portal to the lack of governance by the NCAA to problems with the college football playoff to academic standards. I mean, he hit a little bit of everything. Kind of the all-encompassing quote that Steve Sarkisian gave to Matt Hayes was, quote, "I try my best to not get consumed with how bad it is. It just wears you out," end quote. So I know Steve Sarkisian's not the only coach that feels this way, but it feels like he is the highest profile coach to go on the record and sort of bash all of the problems that are going on with college football, at least in his eyes. Your thoughts, Buck, and where do you want to go first with what Sark had to say?
Well, I think you're a part of the SEC. You have to be careful on how you hammer other people, you know. I mean, it just didn't seem like him. He had way too much time to talk to whoever he got interviewed by. From what I hear, it was like 4 hours. And I'm like, well, that's way too much time, because you start to get loose a little bit. And he got loose, on a lot of things that generally Sark doesn't really want to talk about. But, hey, what the hell? Since he got loose, why not just go ahead and totally, like you say, go scorched earth, which he did. I just thought that was a lot. You're in the SEC. I mean, be careful how you throw stones. You know, you're in this conference. You start talking about other conference teams and what they have to do and basket weaving. Well, I hadn't heard that basket weaving term in – that was when I first started coaching, you know, back in the early 90s and stuff, you know, late 80s when people started talking about, oh, yeah, all you got to do is learn a couple basket weaving courses out there and they can get you in their school. You can't do that at a place like Boston College. Because at Boston College, that would be easy enough for me to say that. Because you just couldn't get in that Catholic school, that private school. But be careful when you're a public university and you're calling places basket weaving play. I mean, you got to just have to be careful. And I think he got a little loose there.
Well,
you know, his quarterback's uncle went to that place and probably got a degree from that. And I bet you it wasn't basket weaving. I guarantee you it was finances, because he's doing pretty good financially.
Right. Well, the quote that you're referencing is probably the part of the article that went the most viral, and that was Steve Sarkisian taking a shot at Ole Miss. You know, the way this article was written, it wasn't like an interview where it's like QA, QA. So we don't know the exact order of quotes and when Sark said this and kind of what was brewing that led to this. There was some conversation about academics and the lack of care when it comes to academics, especially involving transfers, right? Like,
yeah, it's like you and I, our conversation, when people say, oh, Christ, look out, Bucky's got loose again. It's like me when I get loose. I start going and I go in like eight different directions. And
well, I don't think this is Sark getting loose, because this was not your normal press conference. This is not like post game heat of the moment. You're mad. Sure. You're going to say something when you are behind closed doors. This was not a public interview. This is not on tape anywhere. When you are behind closed doors, you've got the time to measure and calculate exactly what you are going to say. Like, I'm sure Sark said yes to this interview well in advance. I'm sure he was tipped off by Matt Hayes, like, hey, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. Sark could have turned this interview down, right? I'm sure Matt Hayes has asked a couple of other high-profile college coaches, hey, are you willing to dunk on the state of college football right now? And they probably said no. So Sark, I think, knew exactly what he was doing when he made all of the comments that he made. And the one about Ole Miss, I'll go ahead and read it here for folks who maybe have not heard it or seen it yet. He said, quote, "At Texas, we will only take 50% of a player's academic credit hours. You may be a semester from graduating, but you're going all the way back to 50% if you play here and want a degree. But at Ole Miss, they could take you. All you have to do is take basket weaving, and you can get an Ole Miss degree," end quote.
Yeah, I know he didn't mean you can take basket weaving, actually.
Oh, he meant that. And look, Sark could have easily said, At some schools, you could take basket weaving, yeah, and that's all you need. That's why I think this was calculated. Like, he wanted to take a shot at Ole Miss, and that's why he specifically mentioned them.
That's when Joey Freshwater was there, huh?
Well, here's what's interesting. A lot of people are connecting some dots here. So, Ole Miss is now coached by Pete Golding, who was on staff at Ole Miss last year. He was the defensive coordinator. Obviously, when Lane Kiffin left, he took over. Now he's the full-time guy. Steve Sarkisian and Pete Golding have history. They were assistants together under Nick Saban at Alabama. Sure. Both of those guys were there before taking their current jobs. And there's a story that came out. Funny enough, you bring up the Manning family. There's a story from Seth Wickersham of ESPN that came out a couple of years ago that said, during the recruitment of Arch Manning, Pete Golding made a joke to Arch and his family about Sark's past with alcoholism and said something like, boy, I hope he could stay sober when you meet with him. So I think those guys were friends. Maybe they still are. I don't know. But to me, it's clear that Steve Sarkisian did not forget about Pete Golding trying to use his history.
Oh, see, that's all I need. That's all I needed to know was that. If that guy threw that in and thought that was funny as a joke to their parent in front of them, that's not funny.
Yeah. The exact quote, I love Sark, but I hope he can stay sober. That's according to ESPN Seth Wickersham. You know, as Arch Manning's recruitment was coming down to the wire, Pete Golding, who was then Alabama's defensive coordinator, invoked Sarkisian's struggles with alcoholism in an attempt to sway him away from the Longhorns on a call with Manning and Manning's circle of trust. So that's public knowledge. So Sark obviously knows about that. And I think, again, that one stuck with him.
Oh, no, that's not going away. If you do that to me in recruiting, that won't go away.
My guess is, in a little defense of Pete Golding, I'm not going to offend him too much because that's pretty pathetic by him. But my guess is he's not the only coach who has tried to negatively recruit against Steve Sarkisian.
That dude has had plenty of shots taken at him when it comes to alcoholism. I mean, it's those things still come out. Those things still come out about him. That stuff doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You can be as sober as you want. I'm sober for 25 years. And the people that remember me at my drunkest and my dumbest, that stuff will come up and you'll be like, dude, I haven't had a drink in 25 years. Yeah, but I didn't forget this time. Mm. And I'm going to be sure to tell somebody about that night. You know, I can get that from my friends from way back, and I can tell them, they'll say, you, there's no way you're sober for 25 years. I remember when. That doesn't just go away. And so when people lay that kind of crap on you, I can imagine Sark being pretty upset. And give me 4 hours to talk about it. I'll get to that part of it with somebody from another school.
Yeah. Look, no coach likes being negatively recruited. And for Golding, who spent time with Sark at Alabama, to go there, it feels like a low blow.
It is.
And it seems obvious that Sark hadn't forgotten about it. So that's why I think, no, this was calculated at Ole Miss. Like, he did this for a reason. He could have been generic and said, yeah, a bunch of other schools, you don't have to do anything, or you could take basket weaving. But I think he wanted to take a shot at Pete Golding for, at least in part, what Golding did a few years ago with that Arch Manning recruitment.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
He had to hear a bunch of stories about his former behavior when recruiting Arch Manning, because how bad people wanted that kid. You know, they were going to go do and say anything they could to persuade his family not to have him come to Texas. So, and the sky's the limit there. Nothing was off limits.
Nothing was off limits. I'll tell you what. Ole Miss comes to town on October 24th. Yeah, these two teams will play each other this season. So you don't often get, I don't know if bulletin board material is the right term for this.
Hell, don't they have some meetings very shortly together?
SEC meetings coming up next week.
Ooh.
And obviously media days coming up in a couple of months. And these guys will be around each other numerous times before the October 24th game. But yeah, that matchup just got a little more heated, a little spicier.
Wow.
You know, it's funny. We talked a lot about the Longhorns 2026 schedule yesterday, Buck, and it's like you start kind of ranking the games in order of intrigue. The Ole Miss game was pretty far down the list for me. Now, it could be a top 10 game when we get to mid-October. And you've got Arch Manning versus Trinidad Chambliss. Like, there's some good storylines, and it could be a very impactful matchup when it comes to the SEC championship race this year. But you think of everything else the Longhorns have on their schedule with Ohio State, with the OU, A&M, and to a lesser degree, Arkansas rivalry games, and you know, the trips to LSU and Tennessee, and the revenge game against Florida. You kind of had to go pretty far down the list to think of, okay, here's why Ole Miss matters a hell of a lot. Now, kind of felt like Steve Sarkisian poured a little gas on the fire, and there's going to be a little bit more attention on that meeting here in Austin.
Yeah, I preferred he didn't do that, but that's okay.
Steve Sarkisian? I
would have preferred, I mean, being an alcoholic myself, I would have preferred he didn't. I wish he would have taken the high road, but I know how tempting that had to be, sitting there with somebody writing this stuff down. You got a chance, you know, you got the court. He's here now. He's been here. He's not going anywhere. And you've had to battle through all that stuff, and even having to battle through your alcoholism. But sometimes it's better to take the high road. I wish he didn't, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Said it's something that got said. So what? Now you just go play. You just got to go play it. You know?
Yeah. And it's crazy. I mean, what a 48 hours it's been for Ole Miss. You had Lane Kiffin calling them a bunch of racists, and then you say,
right,
you have Steve Sarkisian saying, no, they're not just racist, they're dumb racists.
Yeah, do they actually have any basket weaving courses there? Can we find that out?
Hey, if I'm an Ole Miss fan,
every time I used to talk about that when I was growing up, they truly never really had basket weaving courses at these places. I used to get on Syracuse all the time about basket weaving and writing, you know, having journalism classes, and all you had to do was be a poet and you could go there, you know, write a couple of lines of poetry. I used to tell kids, you can get in there, just write a couple lines of poetry.
Hang on.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't be dunking on my major here. I'm a journalism guy. I
had to do that against Syracuse and recruiting all the time. That's when I first, and then after a while, you didn't have to do anything because they sucked.
Yeah, I was going to say, Syracuse football kind of recruits against itself, doesn't it?
Well, it has been lately, but that was a time when they were pretty good. So that is just, I don't know. I don't know. You just, like I said, I've kind of learned how to take the high road on stuff because it's just, I was an alcoholic. I did it. You have all the rights in the world to say something about how I was in the past. I'm not that way now, but you know what? I put that on myself and everybody around me.
It was a bit.
For like you said, that's kind of premeditated for him. He thought about that when he knew he was going to have that conversation. You're right, probably.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised to see Steve Sarkisian call out a school by name like that.
Yes.
Maybe there's something more between Sark and Pete Golding. And maybe there were a couple of transfers this offseason that Texas really wanted but couldn't get in because of academic restrictions and Ole Miss was able to get. I don't know. Maybe there's something else between the two schools or between those two guys that led to Sark taking that shot. But
yeah, I just don't, you know, if it's Lane Kiffin, he's just a jag. I don't see the head coach of Texas being that way. You know, with the stuff that Lane Kiffin was throwing out there.
Right.
You know, it was just bizarre.
I don't think what Sark said is as bizarre or as weird. I mean, you had Lane Kiffin calling out the entire university and the entire fan base, I guess, versus Sark calling out academic restrictions and regulations for athletes at the football program. But I'm sure Ole Miss fans aren't super happy with it. If I'm Ole Miss, dude, I'm using this as an advantage in recruiting. Oh, you want to play ball, right? Come to Ole Miss. If you go there, you got to go to class. You got to study. You got to do all that.
Stuff. This would be perfect for you. This would be a perfect recruiting tool for you.
Hey, we're all about ball here at the University of Mississippi. All right. Texas, they want you to be a doctor or professor and get a great degree. No, we don't care about that smart people crap. We're here to play football in the Southeastern Conference. So if you're about that life, you don't want any distractions from that whole school stuff, then
why would you want to be distracted by academics?
This is where you need to be.
Student athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not about that. We're athletes here at Ole Miss.
And we get paid. Maybe not as much.
We're going to pay you to play ball. We're not going to pay you to go to class. You're here for sports. So
that was pretty cold by Golden. You don't want to do that to people. You don't want to go back on I mean, that's a low shot. That's kicking somebody right in the you know what. Now they've had some success, you know, and maybe you were with him when he was starting to go downhill. Hey, thanks for the help there, Pete. Could you have helped him out a little bit, maybe?
Right. And that's Ole Miss has been in the news a lot, not just this week. Remember they had that incident where they got called out by Dabo Swinney because there was that linebacker, Luke Ferrelli is his name, and he had like transferred to Clemson, started at Cal, transferred this offseason to Clemson, had already enrolled in classes at Clemson, started practicing at Clemson, and then Pete Golding and Ole Miss basically are like, yeah, we know you're enrolled, but like we really want you and we'll pay you this, so can you enter the transfer portal, please, even though you're not technically supposed to, and he did, and now he's at Ole Miss. So it's not just Steve Sarkisian. There are a lot of college football coaches who are not happy with the way things are going at Ole Miss right now. I don't know if it's Golding and Kiffin or if it's just Golding or if it's maybe something that predates both of them. Who knows?
Golding he's not as slick as Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's probably just pretty slick.
Right.
No. Well,
and Sark and Kiffin are boys. We know that. I thought Sark and Golding were maybe close because, again, they were on Nick Saban's staff together at Alabama for a couple
not
of
so
years.
Not so much.
But I guess not. And, I mean, this – it kind of goes back to something else Steve Sarkisian talked about in that article was just the lack of governance, right? Another quote that Sark gave, and obviously Ole Miss has been in the news a lot because of the Tobago Chambliss fight for eligibility this year. And the fact that the NCAA keeps saying no, but some Mississippi court is like, no, yeah, you can play. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Steve Sarkisian also said, quote, "We all signed up to be a part of the NCAA. And then we all allegedly make the rules. Everyone knows the rules, right? Then we go to our attorney general and say, we don't like that rule. Let's just sue. Right now, no one is afraid of the consequences," end quote. So that, you know, didn't mention Ole Miss there, but Ole Miss is a team obviously involved with the, wait, there's rules in place, but we don't agree with the rules. So we're just going to go to our state court and they're going to give us whatever we want.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like you said, 4 hours with somebody, there's a lot to talk about college football wise that, you know, NIL and everything else and where it's headed and what it needs to be. But man.
Well, he's right. I mean, Sark is right about that.
Sure.
Like there is no real governance with the NCAA. People can do whatever they want. It's the Wild West right now.
It is.
And again, there's supposed to be this governing body that's there that isn't doing anything. And that's why you keep hearing people talk about, now, the SEC and the Big Ten and maybe others breaking away from the NCAA and just doing their own thing because there's nobody looking out for them right now. And there's nobody.
Yeah, and it's not going to stop you from watching college football if they did that.
No.
I
like the way that it is. I like the way that it has been in terms of the way conferences have been organized and the sport's been organized. But no one's actually enforcing any rules. Then I'd be in favor of actually doing something about that.
Yeah, you've got to have somebody to commission this deal.
Good.
Yeah, did he talk about commissioning and who? I mean, there people want to put out names, but a lot of people don't want to be involved because, as you said, it gets to be political.
He didn't give a name and he didn't explicitly talk about breaking away from the NCAA, but he did say, quote, "There's a reason in the NFL when you get caught tampering, you get drilled, you lose draft picks. You don't practice the right way, you lose practice days. Coaches get fined. There are a lot of things in place to protect their rules and guardrails. Right now in college football, there's no fear. People do whatever they want."
And you're right.
And I don't think Texas is not tampering at all. I think there's a little pot calling the kettle black when it comes to this part of the discussion. But there are no rules right now.
So you take them as far as you can take them.
Yeah, that's what everybody seems to be doing. And I think Steve Sarkisian and probably a lot of other coaches out there are just looking for some guardrails here. So, hey, we know what we can do and what we can't do. And wait, we can't do this, but that school can do that. Why aren't they getting punished? It's in the rules that they're not supposed to.
Right.
So that, I think, is his overarching sort of gripe with the current system that's in place for college football. And nobody really knows what's going on right now.
I'm excited about the basket weaving call, though. That's been a long time since I heard that.
I mean, that's fantastic right there. I think that's hilarious. I'm sure Rebels fans are not real thrilled with it, but I think it's awesome. Yeah, come take basket weaving here. Whatever.
My goodness.
Yeah. basket weaving. It's all you need to get a degree from Ole Miss. And Sark also, we maybe could save this for another time, but he also talked about the college football playoff and the selection process for that. Some of it, I'm sure, is sour grapes from Texas being left out this past year. But Sark brings up some good points about how there's only 13 people on the selection committee. And a lot of those guys are sitting ADs who have a lot to do on game days during the fall. How are those guys watching every single game that they need to watch to determine who are the best 12 teams in college football?
Now they're getting calls from their buddies. They're watching ESPN the following morning. They're doing all kinds of things. They're not watching all those games.
All right. And he's saying, it feels like they're looking at the polls, the AP polls and the coaches polls. And Sark's like, I used to vote in the coaches poll. Now I don't, because I don't think it's fair, because I don't know what's going on around the country. Like, I watch more college football than anybody, but yes. I can't judge NC State and Wake Forest. I think that was the exact example he used. He's like, I can't judge how those teams played against each other, because I got a bunch of other stuff going on.
Absolutely.
And ADs, not only are they dealing with football stuff, they're dealing with everything at a university at all times.
Yeah, and no head coach wants to put that on somebody on his staff, you know, one of these volunteers or analysts. They don't want to do that, because if they do something wrong, that comes back on the head coach. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
if you don't do your job and watch all these things that I'm saying that I do, then that's going to come back on me. Look out.
Right. Well, that's, you know, coach's poll is one thing. I mean, if you screw up your vote there, everybody gets mad at you, but you don't ruin the sport. Like, if you screw up your college football playoff picks, then...
See, you would be great at that. If that were your job, if that was your gig, is to make that on a staff, and they paid you as an analyst, and that was your analyst job, was to do that and pick out these teams, and you'd be watching games all weekend long. But you're such a homer, it's going to fall into some homerism there somehow. But
sure.
If it didn't, wouldn't you be able to take that job? Wouldn't you like to be watching film all while watching games over and over the weekend?
Yeah, I'd put Texas number one every year. Of course. That's any college football fan's dream, right?
Yeah.
Texas is the one seed every year, and OU and A&M are getting left out every year.
That's how that would work out automatically.
You know the way it works with the ADs, the sitting ADs, when their team is being discussed, they have to leave the room. All right, when Texas is being discussed, I'll leave the room. But
When I come back, all we're going to talk about is Texas when I come back in this room.
I know I watch more college football than those people, right? Like, and there are people that watch more than me. You'd be better than me for something like this. There is no way. Sark is 100% right on that. I don't care what the college football playoff says about our guys watch all the games. There is no way they have the bandwidth to watch every game. And now, Buck, we're talking about going to 24 teams in the playoffs, so they got to watch even more games every week.
Yes.
So he's right on that. He's dead right. I'm sure, again, I know there's some sour grapes there for last year, but I think it's like, no, and honestly, when the playoff expands, Texas is going to be taken care of more often than not. Because they're Texas. But for the rest, there's just no way to accurately grade all of these teams with the current system that is in place. There's just no way.
Well, if their players aren't spending their time academically in classes at places when they could be weaving baskets.
Is that an online course, you think?
No, that's one that you actually have to be there physically. You can bring your basket to, like, dinner and training table and weave your basket right there.
BYOB, bring your own basket.
Oh, yeah, while you're at dinner, you take it over and put it in your locker somewhere. Or maybe they have a locker that just stores all the baskets.
Maybe. All right. Well, we'll ask Chip Brown. We'll get his thoughts on the Sark article and everything else. There's so much in there that we can unpack, and we'll do more of that.
I'm so happy they came back with basket weaving. I thought that was a class that has been stored away for years. It's back.
Well, with all the slave owners at Ole Miss, apparently it's there. Apparently that's what's going on right now.
Man, oh, man.
All right, we'll have our Longhorns Insider segment with Chip Brown here in a moment. But before we do, Buck, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Our friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company, they'd love for you to come on over to one of their 30 locations in the state of Texas, serving a burger, fries, and shakes. Of course, Hat Creek Burger is a place, good food, good folks, and a lot of good fun. Just that simple. They also are proud to be a place where you can come in hungry and leave full and fulfilled. As I said, 30 locations throughout the state of Texas, great playgrounds for kids and happy hour for adults. Also, you'll find locations near you that you're just going to love what they do at Hat Creek Burger. The folks there are friendly. The meals are excellent. The hamburgers are delicious. There's something for everyone at Hat Creek Burger Company, folks.
No doubt about that. Love me some Hat Creek. Also, shout out to CentexTickets.com. Great weekend of sports coming our way these next couple of days. You've got Texas baseball playing its final regular season series of the year against Mizzou starting tomorrow. Texas softball in the Austin Regional. Yeah, NCAA tournament play gets going for the SEC tournament champs on Friday. You've got an Austin FC match on Saturday. A lot going on. If you want to be at any of those games, CentexTickets.com is the place to go to get your tickets. Don't forget the promo code CentEx10. If you type that in at checkout, you're going to get 10% off of any purchase, whether it's for sports, concerts, Broadway shows, festivals, comedy shows, you name it, any live event coming to town. CentexTickets.com has you covered.
Folks, if you're seeking that space patient-focused orthopedic care, please contact the experts and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults. It always doesn't always mean that you got to have surgery. They do some stuff that's non-surgical, of course, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there, and their goal is to get you right back in good health and the great quality of life that you definitely deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. And some love to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. If your home was hit by the crazy storms we had this past weekend, reach out to our friends at Qualis. They are the very best in the business. They do residential roofs. They do commercial roofs. And they've got more than 700 five-star reviews online. They're A-plus rated by the BBB. These guys aren't a fly-by-night crew. They're not storm chasers. They've been around Central Texas, and they are going to stay around Central Texas. They're also up in the Metroplex as well for any of our DFW listeners. But they are the best at what they do. Free inspections, free storm assessments, and maybe you just haven't gotten your roof inspected in a while. The insurance companies recommend that you get your roof inspected twice a year. Qualis says, we don't need to come out twice, but we'll come out once a year. You want to make sure that if something's wrong, it gets taken care of before it becomes a major problem that costs thousands of dollars. Have these guys out for free. They'll also buy you a Texas Longhorns t-shirt as well if you have them out for free. And they will help you with everything. Great people, super communicative. They do the very best work. Just give them a call. 512-257-0033. You can find them online at qualisgc.com. That's Q-U-A-L-I-S-G-C.com.